Hello everyone. We're going to start with the chapter Strategic Role of Human Resource Management. So the learning objectives in front of you are here. We are going to understand, so post completion of this 1 hour of session, you should be able to understand the concept of strategic human resource management, strategies that are related to human resource management, the process and planning and linking the process and practices with the human resource management, the various strategic models of HR and arriving at the HR strategy, the alignment of HR strategy to the organizational strategy, the skills needed by today's HR managers. So these are going to be our focused learning objectives for the next 1 and 1.5 hour. Hope everyone is clear with this. Let's start to understand what strategic human resource management is all about. Strategic human resource management comprises with the whole spectrum of the traditional human resource functions, right from your process of recruitment, screening, interviewing, hiring the employees, but it also works with the overall organizational strategy to achieve success. So that's what is the difference between just the plain HRM and the strategic human resource. Because of the word, because of the use of the word strategic, it completely links to the, it encompasses the entire logic of linking it to the business strategy, which is the long and the short-term goals of the organization. So hence, it is linked to the entire process of hiring, rehiring, screening, your placement. All of this focuses and links it to the overall organizational strategy. Hence, linking SHRM with the organizational strategy to achieve success. Michael Porter points out that in his classic book on business strategy, it used to be called as competitive strategy. He mentioned that the development of strategic advantages, in order to have development towards strategic advantages through the strategic initiatives and understanding, the human resources have to be very, very aligned to the competitive strategy across the market and knows where as an organization we stand. So the human resource professionals are primarily concerned with how people are managed within the organization, focusing on the policies and the systems. He also mentioned that the way people are, HR should be constantly be on the focus of understanding how the people are being hired, what is the process that has been administered in attracting the candidates, right from the time to screening to the onboarding. The process needs to be very, very well established so that every candidate, whether or not he gets selected, he carries an exemplary experience with him. Hence, the organization, the HR professionals are constantly expected to focus on these elements. Now let's define strategy. What do you mean by the word strategy? Since 1656, the word strategy has been used. It has been originated from the Greek word strategies, and which meant commander in chief. So the moment you hear the literal word commander in chief, what does it come to your mind? What does commander-in-chief comes to your mind? So when you relate back to the Indian Army or, the word, commander-in-chief specifically talks about the ones who completely commands the entire instructions, decides what to do, plans the desirable outcome and accordingly gives you instruction. So that's what commander-in-chief is all about. So hence the word strategy has been in existence since so many hundreds of years now, and it has been originated from the Greek word strategies, which meant commander-in-chief. In management context, it is exchangeably used with long-term planning and action which the senior management carries out in order to achieve the organizational's overall long-term goals. So to understand the strategic management process and planning, we are talking about five forces model. Now, when you talk about the five forces model, the first thing that comes into your mind is that anybody, any company in existence will always have been, always have to be surrounded by the competition. So the first factor that comes to our mind within the model is the competition. The first thing is your competition. Now, when you have the competition, you are surrounded by the different kinds of power. So one is your buying power, your customer power. How does the customer look at you? Whether you are innovative enough, whether you are catering to the need enough that you are relevant at any point in time in the market. How is your supply model? What is the back-end systems that you have with regards to the supply chain? So what is your supply power? The third is your threat of the substitutes. What are the different threats that are available in the market? You know, what is it that is comprising, or what is giving you actually a run for the product? Where are your customers shifting? Are your customers moving to some other product because of your redundancy or because of the irrelevancy in the market? Could be any of the reasons, but there could be threat of losing out, right? So those are your substitutes of your product or the service. And then the new market entrants, new potential entrants, which are constantly entering. If you talk about retail, if you talk about medicine, if you talk about technology, all of them, if you see day in and day out, we are seeing some of the other new startup or some of the other new international player coming into our and entering Indian market and disrupting the whole country, the whole business, right? So when you talk about the five forces model, we're talking about the competition, we're talking about the powers of the buyers and the suppliers, we're talking about the threats that we are seeing as a substitute, you know, which could be substitute for our product or services, and the potential entrants which are coming every day in and day out. Yeah, I hope all of you are clear with the five forces model. Other definitions of strategy now. Now we understood one strategy which talked about specifically, we went back to the literal meaning of it, and we had got inspired by the Greek word commander-in-chief. A strategy, whether it is an HR strategy or any other kind of management strategy, must have two key elements. What are those two key elements? There should be strategic objectives, which means the things that we are supposed to achieve, that the organization is supposed to achieve. And second one is that there must be a plan of action for it. So now if you know that these are the things that I want to achieve, this is what is my end in mind, this is my road path that will lead me to that result. So the means by which it is proposed that the objectives will be met. This was what was defined by Richardson and Thompson in the year 1999. Hope all of you are clear with the definition of strategy by now. We have already defined it twice. Now let's understand further about what strategic management is all about. Whelan and Hunger actually spoke about it, did a fantastic research in 1995. He defined strategic management as the set of managerial decisions, the decisions that the managers take and the actions that determines the long-term performance of a corporation or an organization. Okay, so the set of activities, the set of actions, set of procedures that you follow so that you are able to reach the desired outcome of the business, which has been stated in the beginning of the financial year. So strategic management is considered as a continuous activity undertaken by the senior management of the organization. So please note that you will keep hearing a lot about the senior management, specifically because of the fact that the word strategic is incorporated along with it. So any strategic decisions which talks about straight away about the goal, about the outcomes of the organizations, hence it will always be led by the senior management. So hence senior management context will keep coming up again and again. Yeah. Now, how do we understand this further? Okay, so there are three main aspects that you need to understand. The values of senior management. What are the values? Now, each one of us are bestowed with a set of values which we have picked up or which we have developed within self since our childhood. isn't it? So each senior management member also has got his or her own value system with him. So what the values of senior management are, and each one of them are different. How are they aligned? How well are they aligned to the organizational goals or organizational values? The values of the senior management, the environment that they're surrounded with, what kind of volatility that we are talking about, what kind of uncertainties that we are talking about, and what are the resources that we have as an availability to be able to focus on the business outcome, right? So these are the three things that under strategic management one needs to understand: the values that the senior management brings into the table, the environment that he or she is, the team is surrounded with, and the resources that are available with them. Yeah. Now let's understand the process. Let's understand the process of strategic management now. So there are five steps when you talk about the process of strategic management. The first is about mission and objectives of the organization. What is the end goal of the organization? Where does it want to? What are the long and the short-term goals? Now you would have, any organization would have a long-term goal, which is your in 3 years we want to reach X amount of business. Say we want to, in 3 years we want to receive, we want to achieve a 3X business, 3X in 3Y. Let's say that's the objective. So in 3 years we want to make the business 3 times. So that's the mission and the objectives of the organization. The second is the environment assessment. Okay, now we are talking about 3X and 3Y. Now in these next 3 years, what are the kind of innovations that we have to go through? How are we surrounded in terms of the environment? What about the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats that are lying in the environment currently? Okay, so you need to do a SWOT analysis to understand and assess the environment completely through and through. Okay, so that's where you will understand where you stand in the environment that is surrounded by you. Third one is your formulating the strategy. Now, how do we formulate the strategy? Now, assessment of organizational, it completely formulates with the guide. Okay, so it's a complete guide that you will create basis what your strategy will get unfolded in due course of time. Okay, so you'll create a complete formulatory guide for that. Then what you do is then you will put together the implementation strategy. Now, how do we roll it out? When you talk about implementation, it's more of execution. Now, we talked about, okay, we will grow 3 times in 3 years. Okay, for that, you have formulated the strategy. What is it first year? What is it that we are going to achieve? Second year, what is it that we're going to achieve? And third year, this is what we're going to achieve. So now comes to actually having tangible results. Now, actually coming, we have reached the phase where we have to actually roll out the stuff. Now, we have spoken about this. Now, we are going to work on it, actually. We are going to dirty our hands in the market to implement the whole strategy. Okay, so here, you want to make a desired change. You want to, so desired versus desired was here. 3X and 3Y, which was there. But now here comes to your actual implementation, actual execution. So the strategy versus execution comes here. Okay, so post that, once you have already executed it on it and you have already accomplished a year and you realize that you have probably only achieved about 80% of what your target was for the first year. Say 80%, so you are short of 20%. So how do we do? How do we rigor it up? How do we strengthen the lead measures so that our output, our outcomes become stronger and we achieve 100% or more? So that's where you will do the evaluation. Okay, so probably your inputs were not strong enough, hence you couldn't get the 100% results. So now let's strengthen it up. So that's what is your evaluation stage. So these are the 5 stages process of strategic management. So your strategy has been laid down here. You speak about the mission and the vision of and the objectives of the organization. You do the environment assessment. You understand how you will do it, how you'll phase out formulation of the strategy, and then how will you execute it. and how will you evaluate it whether you're doing right or not. So evaluation strategy will also incorporate your monitoring the progress and the milestones that you achieve. So first year, what milestone you had, 1.5 year, what kind of milestones you had to achieve, third year, what second year, what was to be achieved, and if not, what is the plan B for it. Okay, so all kinds of changes, all kinds of this, so will have to be made at this point in time at the evaluation stage. So five steps process: mission and objectives, environmental assessment, formulation of strategy, evaluation, implementation and execution of strategy, and the evaluation of strategy. Hope everybody is clear with the process. So we will go into detail. Now I have explained you briefly about each step. However, we will now deep dive into it because it is strategic management and we need to understand the process and planning stages very, very well. So hence we will deep dive into it now. Now, when you talk about step one, which was your mission and objective, okay, and here we are talking about the senior leaders. As I mentioned to you in the beginning of this session, that we will talk a lot around senior leaders here and the senior management. The senior leaders of the organization will evaluate their position vis-a-vis to the present mission. Okay, so which means, are we on the right direction? There is a clock and there is a compass. Clock is mentioning one particular time. We are saying by clock, it means we are at 12 o'clock. By direction, where am I exactly? I was supposed to reach 20 kilometers from where I started, and I'm actually only 15 kilometers. I could only accomplish 15 kilometers. I'm still short of 5 more kilometers to accomplish. So how do I assess that? Okay, so at 12, so if I had to reach by 1 o'clock, I had to see exactly where I am at 12:45 because I had an appointment to be there at 1 o'clock. So I'm, if I'm still short of 5 kilometers to accomplish, which means it's very, very dim chance that I'm going to make it by 1. So hence I need to take appropriate actions for it. Okay, so you need to take appropriate action the moment you realize that you are not in the right direction. So the direction in which the organization is going, the organization's values and the aspirations and the objectives, which are short term, and the end outcome, which is your long term of the organization. So this is what is the first step talks about. The step two, it focuses completely, as we mentioned, if we go back to it. So as we mentioned here, it's about the environment assessment. Now, how do we do this? Now, we focus here, we focus on the strengths and the weakness. As I mentioned to you in the beginning, it's all about the SWOT analysis of the environment. So we focus on the strengths and weaknesses of the organization internally and look at the because I'm sure all of you are aware that SWOT is basically strengths and weaknesses are very intrinsic, which we all are aware of, which is visible. Threats and opportunities are very external and extrinsic, and hence it's not visible to people. It could be only felt and assumed, and probably use some analytics and to find it out whether they are actual threats and opportunities. So so we need to focus on the strength, weaknesses, threats and opportunities of the external environment. So which is your nothing but the SWOT analysis. I'm sure by now all of you understand what SWOT analysis is all about. The step three involves the assessment of various strategic factors and the choices by the senior leaders. Again, the senior leaders, whatever they have decided. So they will do a lot of brainstorming. They will discuss, they will do a back and forth. So multiple rounds of discussions and brainstorming sessions will actually bring in down to the final choices by them. Okay, which will be probably agreed by everyone with n number of interactions amongst themselves, okay, which guides them to ultimately achieve the end goal of the organization, which is your business outcome of the organization. Strategic decision making can be seen as a political process as well. I have been talking about this particular factor of having political influences in every department, every organization. Okay, so it can be, so any decision also will be influenced by the political scenario as well. So strategic decision making can be seen as a political process as well, since decisions and the actions on different issues are taken by some power dominant groups. Okay, because of the fact that it affects the sentiments of certain group, the organization may decide not to go ahead with that route. Hence, hence the political influence always have to be kept in mind. Yeah. So your step three will include your step three, which is your formulation of your strategy, will involve a lot of decisions around the likes and the final closure of the discussions of the senior management and some political influences as well. Okay, so based on all of this, the final formulation of the strategy will be formulated. Then comes your step number four. So step four focuses on the, as I mentioned to you, it's about all about the execution. Strategy is there. Okay, what about the execution? There are a lot of leaders who are there. I have seen in my 20 years of career that a lot of organizations have got best of the leaders available and best of the strategies they put together. But the team is not competent enough to take those strategies at the execution level. Hence, there is a huge gap between the strategy and the execution. So what you have thought and discussed at the top, leader board or amongst the directors, top management forum may not actually turn into actuals because of various reasons, whether your infrastructure is not up to the mark, whether your team is not up to the mark, whether your technological and advancement are opportunities around, could be any of the reasons. But you may not succeed there because there is a huge difference between the strategy planned and the executions implemented. Okay, so hence the focus here is on various techniques that the managers will use to execute their to work on the strategies that was discussed. And particularly it includes dealing with leadership styles, your organizational structure, the controls, the kind of information cascades that it happens, and the management of the different resources that you have available. Then the last step, which is your final step, which involves determining the gap between the desired change and the performance vis-a-vis to the actual change. As I mentioned to you, you will have to look at it from, so if you talk about evaluation, where are you? Evaluation, how do you do that? What was your X and what is your Y? So now your Y was this, but have you actually accomplished it? As I mentioned to you that I had to accomplish 20 kilometers in 1 hour. So did I do it? If not, by how many, what percentage am I short of? Okay, so you need to be understanding your X and Y journey. So hence, we talk about here. So we talk about the desired and the actual change and the performance post the implementation of the strategy. Now we have implemented the strategy got rolled out, which was discussed at the top. So it has been done, it has been cascaded to the lines, and now we have implemented it. How about the performance now? Okay, pre and the post performance ratings of your post the implementation of the new strategy. Okay, so you need to accomplish and you need to ascertain the journey between the desired and the actual change which has taken place. Sometimes it could be very, very positive, it could be a breakthrough, sometimes it could be negative as well, or sometimes it could be just the same. Okay, so all these three aspects have to be kept in mind. So change can be positive, negative, or neutral as well. Yeah, I hope everybody is clear with all the five steps by now, because we've done in detailed analysis of it. Yeah. So now we talk about strategic planning. Now, what do you mean by strategic planning? Organizational level strategic planning. Now, when you talk about organizational level strategic planning, it means identifying the portfolios of businesses which comprises the organization and interrelationship between the businesses. So this is what you have to identify. You have to identify the different portfolios of businesses which are being comprised by the organization and the different relationships that the organization have with the different businesses. Okay, and the business unit level strategy planning, which means at the unit level, marketing unit, what is it the strategy that is required? Okay, we have the big picture in mind, but what is it the small picture that is there to be able to incorporate in that big picture? So it involves the way the business heads would build and strengthen their long-term business competitiveness in the market. Yeah, so what is it that they're going to do? What is it that the business heads are going to formulate so that they build the such a long-term products and services or long-term businesses that it becomes, it gives a competitive edge in the market. Yeah, so organizational level strategy, business unit level strategy, and functional level strategy. Each business comprises of different functions. So the first one, we spoke about the business unit. Now, first one that we talk about is the portfolio of businesses within the organization, different businesses that you would have. You know, you may have one technology business, one real estate business, one could be, services business. So all these three businesses, what are the portfolios of these businesses and how are they comprised in the organization to be able to have interplay between different businesses. Second is the business unit level, which is your each business. So each technology business, what is it that they are doing to be able to sustain the long-term advantage in the market? The third one, functional level, what are we doing? Okay, so each business will have different functions like your marketing, like your production, like your sales, your human resources. So what each function head is planning to be able to accomplish the long-term objectives of the organization. So what is it that they are doing? What is the critical objectives that they have devised for the department? So in order to live the vision of 3X and 3Y, what is it that we, how do we plan to scale up? What kind of resources are we looking at? Are we going to put a lot of stress on talent management, or are we going to have laterals getting hired from outside? So what is it that we are going to take as a strategy? Now, the different trends that are there. Now, you know, the biggest trend that in today's day that we are facing, especially after we've started working virtually, we are seeing globalization by every passing day. It refers to the tendency of the companies to extend their businesses operations to new markets abroad. Right, so any time of the day, any part of the year, you will see organizations have got started opening up, because you don't need a physical office now. You just need one person there in that country. You just can't start your operations and you can say that, you know, we are present in three countries now. Overnight, you can actually work on that if your documentation and everything works all right. If the litigation works all right, you can just, it's become very, very simple now. Okay, higher the globalization, more is the competition, of course, because you have a pressure to improve with lower cost, higher employee productivity, and you need to constantly constantly keep innovating something or the other. Okay, so higher the globalization, more is the competition, and you have to reduce your cost and you have to show constant innovation, and the employees have to be much more productive than what they were. Now, if you take an example of in the last 1.5-2 years that we are working from home, you have seen how much productive you have become. Don't you think so? I remember I used to go to the office. I used to go for my walk in the morning, come back, have my breakfast, which was made by my cook. Okay, or sometimes if she's not there, I would just probably make the breakfast for everybody, that's all. And then if she's there, I will get my tiffin and I will carry my lunch. If not, probably I will choose to, have it in my canteen. And I will just drive and reach office and just do my plain work, which is there for the, sometimes could be challenging, sometimes could be a routine. Finish that, 6:37, drive back home, reach home. Again, cook, warm the food which was being made by the cook, and then have that and, sleep off. Probably watch a little bit of TV, spend some time with the kids. That's it. Nothing else we were doing. But now, in the last 1.5 year, I realized when I did not have any cook, I did not have any house help, me and my husband both struggled and actually did all the household. Both of us had our own jobs to do. Both of us were productive enough. Cooking was done by ourselves. Cleaning was done by ourselves. Helped the child to finish his studies and everything. And if there were guests or anything by chance, if at all, we were doing that. We were doing the shopping, which was very limited, the grocery shoppings. All of that we were doing by our own self. We became so much productive. Just think about your own self. Just the basic example, our own self being so much productive. So hence, the organization lens also have started expecting and looking at every employee who's coming in or in existence have to be much more productive. You have to be 2X or 3X productive compared to earlier, because you're not traveling. because you're not incurring cost on any kind of this thing. So, you know, you've got to be extra careful when you're doing your work. Every work should be impeccable, and you should be able to constantly contribute. You should be having great interpersonal relationship, even in spite of the fact that you're remotely communicating. All of these are being expected. So, hence the globalization has actually, and you're constantly interacting with people across the countries, not only within the India market, but other markets as well. And hence the world is becoming flat, and now globalization is increasing every passing day. So these are some of these strategic trends that we are going to discuss with today. So we spoke about the globalization, then we are talking about the next trend, which is very, very much in trend, which is again, which has multiplied from the globalization itself, which is about the future of workforce. So the demographics of the workforce is changing, isn't it? I mean, we are just being in India market, you know, we could have a time lag or we could have a time zone difference, but we might be just speaking to somebody in Europe, somebody in, in the US market at any point in time, and we are working together in one common project. Right. So, and more and more diverse, people are coming in contact with us. It's becoming more diverse as women, minority groups, older workers have started entering the workforce, you know, because of organizations going gung-ho about in making an organization very, very inclusive. So what they're striving to do is that they are just hiring people with different genders. They are hiring people undermining the whole concept of age groups. All these, they are not at all bothered about, somebody with a disability to bringing him on board. So because this diversity includes many factors like, you know, race, no matter what race you come from, no matter what gender, no matter what age you are from, what kind of values you carry. And you just need to do a fitment after you join the organization. So that's about it. So these are some of the disruptions that are having, they're happening around our, workforce. So another emerging feature of workforce is that the labor force is aging. Okay, so the labor force, the one who's constantly on the factory level or mechanical work, the median age of the labor force across the globe is projected to rise. So it is going to increase because more and more people are moving towards technology, more and more people moving towards white collar jobs. So who is going to do this? So hence the labor age is the median of the labor force is going to rise. So hence we need to really, really upskill them. We really need to automatize more, and we need to also put inputs towards upskilling our labor force. Then the third strategic trend is about advances that we are making in terms of the technology. This is humongous. The internet, the IT, and the social media have been forcing and enabling companies to become more and more competitive. They are every minute, you know, the kind of stock prices that are, you know, the way it's changing the market, the way the customer preferences are changing. The moment you launch one product, there is a replica which comes in the market. So we need to constantly be on the churn to be able to strive in the business, even survive in the business. So thanks to the technology, which is kind of making us so aggressive in the market, that in order to survive, we need to be constantly innovating and doing something new, give something better. So companies that cannot match up to the demands of technology, you've seen what has happened. In the last 2 years, we have seen I forgot the number, exact number, I do not remember. So I would have otherwise quoted that number. That kind of a number of organizations have actually shut shops, just because of the fact that they couldn't adapt to the new normal. They couldn't match up the pace with the advancement that it had directed to. Okay, so any company that couldn't match up to the demands of the technology cannot compete in the marketplace, since technology is reducing the cost and introducing innovative ways of doing the business. Okay, so your clerical jobs are almost getting redundant. You probably do not need a person to do that which used to happen manually earlier, because the whole system, whole process has been automatized or has been remotely operated. So you don't need their headcount there. So people are becoming redundant. The nature of work. Technology has also changed the nature of work, not only in terms of e-commerce companies, marketplace, but also in the factory jobs, which are turning equally technology challenging. I can quote this example because I have been working in close association with one of my client, which is an organization which is completely into manufacturing, which comprises of 60% employees which are factory employees, which are blue collared employees. Okay, so you can imagine when the whole locked up happened, and in the March 2020 when everybody had to actually stay put inside homes and they start working from home, only 40% of the people in the organization could be accommodated. All 60% did not even have anything to do from home because they work on the boilers, they work on those large machines. What will they do? How will they operate from home? Okay, so then what happened is that they started working new ways. They formulated some new ways of working, and they created an infrastructure for those 15-20 people that also had restrictions, I think, in the number. So they brought those people together. They created a lodging facility, and so that they don't have to travel and they can stay there, just like how your guest house happens. So in the factory they brought those people. But that also was very limited, about probably 20% of what existed in the total population. So 20% of the staff were called, and they were given the infrastructure and all so that they can at least do the basic production. Okay, but I have recently done another project for them, and they told me that our shop floor employees are able to we still call only 40% of the shop floor employees to the factory now, because half the work of theirs have become automatized. They are able to operate it remotely. So I was like, fantastic. What kind of a reformation we are going through? Imagine factories going through this kind of evolutions. So there is a continuing shift from manufacturing to the service jobs, because now it's becoming, now from manufacturing we are moving to the service jobs. Okay, so this implies that the center of gravity in employment is just moving fast from manual and clerical workers to knowledge workers. So ultimately there will be only need for the knowledge workers. Probably just the mechanical workers will just probably fade it out in some time. Thank you so much.